Therefore, I've come here to reestablish religious principles in order to protect my devotees. And since you're not one of my devotees, therefore I have to vanquish you because you're in the category of demon, asura. So the intelligence also, we have this tendency to serve our ideas, to think that they're more important than everyone else's ideas, and unless people follow my ideas, then they're doomed. No one will know what happened to them. And above that, there's the false ego, and that's where we really have a big service attitude. I may not be able to serve my senses, I may even fast, just to show everyone how wonderful I am, how renounced I am. I may even renounce my desires. All right, I have so many desires, but I renounce them because I want people to realize how renounced I am. I may renounce my ideas because as long as my idea is that I'm such a nice person, I renounced everything, I'm so renounced. But ultimately, to renounce the false ego, that's very difficult. We want to make sure that everyone's recognizing how renounced I am, how much I've given up my material desires, how much I've surrendered to Krishna. Everyone should go, Jai Prabhu, you're wonderful. I know that. How wonderful do you think? Oh, you're so wonderful. Say that again. Oh, you're so... No, I'm so humble. Yes, you're also so humble. So the false ego is the most difficult to give up. But it's possible by directing our service towards Krishna. So there are three stages, as I've gone over many times. The first stage is to hear that everything belongs to Krishna. So that's a big blow to the false ego. Therefore, we generally don't, even if we hear it, we don't accept it. Sure, everything belongs to Krishna. Good luck, Krishna. Then the mind says, oh, don't worry about it. He probably doesn't even exist. Who knows about this Krishna, you know? Some aborigine cowherd boy in this village in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago that you happen to be glorifying too. But, you know, as far as his owning everything, oh, that's pretty strange, isn't it? So to actually accept that everything belongs to Krishna is not so easy. Theoretically, it's very easy to repeat it. We can repeat it 100 times, 1,000, 1,000,000 times. We can tell everyone you're not your body. Your body's changing, but you're not changing. And everyone will go, yes, 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 I am this body. It doesn't matter what you tell me. Whatever Krishna says, it's completely logical, but I'm not so logical. I'm a man of feeling. So to accept that everything belongs to Krishna is not so easy, but therefore we have regulated devotional service where we utilize things in Krishna's service like cartels. Now if someone came into the temple, glory be me, I'm so wonderful, you know, I got up early this morning, I chanted my rounds, glory to me, everyone go, glory to him. People think, wow, oh my God, take those cartels away from him. Call the ambulance. Because it's out of place. Now, of course, we may subtly think like that. You know, when we're chanting, oh, listen to me. Wow, this sounds beautiful. Look at everyone smiling. Yes, everyone's smiling at me. So, that's subtler, but at least grossly we pick up the cartels when we chant Hare Krishna. We accept at least to that extent that everything belongs to Krishna. Although I'd like it to belong to me, but what to do? You know, it's not the philosophy I officially accepted, so I have to pick up Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then the next stage is everything is we should find out what Krishna wants us to do. So we do that by chanting Hare Krishna with the cartels. And then Prabhupada says, the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention and then giving one's love to Krishna. Therefore, we have to utilize our mind and absorb it in the chanting. Not just chant, but try to think about Krishna and try to think about Krishna as described by, and in a way, or chant in a way, as our acharyas, our authorities have told us, so that we chant lovingly, feelingly, happily, whatever. So to follow the instructions, not just chant, but to actually include some instructions in the chanting. Remember what they are and chant as Krishna consciously as possible. Under the guidance of Krishna's representatives, their examples and their instructions. And then we can come to the platform. So one is called Karma Yoga. We accept that everything belongs to Krishna and we'll utilize whatever we can remember. Whenever we remember, we'll utilize something for Krishna, especially in Sadhana Bhakti, that this book belongs to Krishna. And therefore, many times there's a little label on it. This is Krishna's book. Don't take it out of the temple. Sticky fingers. Oh, it's hard. My finger stuck to it. I couldn't help it. No, it belongs to Krishna. And the cartels belong to Krishna. Cartels usually smaller, so people put them in the pocket and don't notice they've disappeared till there are no more cartels. And then to actually be willing to become a servant, to show at least that we're going to follow Krishna's directions, that to accept, to be able to perceive what is an example I should follow and who I should follow and how I should follow, who I should serve and how I should serve. So that's the second stage, when we become a little bit more. Then it requires more intelligence and more absorption of the mind, so that the platform of Jnana Yoga. We actually have to learn things. And then finally, Bhakti Yoga, when we do it out of love, to please Krishna. It's actually a process of simplifying things. Now we may think, oh, it's very complicated, it's so difficult, there's so many rules and regulations, there's so many things. So at the beginning, yes, to find out what's ours and what's not ours is rather complicated, because we think everything belongs to me, or everything should belong to me. So to give up that mentality is not so easy, but it takes some hearing, constantly hearing. We're actually sitting on Krishna's floor. His body belongs to Krishna. The air we're breathing came from Krishna. We didn't just snap our fingers and say, more air, and then the more air comes. It's being supplied to us by Krishna. Everything is being supplied by Krishna. The sun is Krishna's energy. The moon is Krishna's energy. The abilities we have come from Krishna. So we have to hear about this over and over again, and then we may walk out and think, maybe what he said is true. Maybe something around here does belong to Krishna. Ah, no, don't worry. Too philosophical. You're becoming a victim of the cult mentality. And so it becomes less complicated when we actually start following, agree to follow instructions. That's called Varna Dasa, which means that all these things going through our mind, we don't have to accept them and worry about them. Masuchaha. There are millions of thoughts going through our minds. Life is so complicated in Kali Yuga. There's millions of things to worry about. And if you stop worrying for a moment, the mind says, what's wrong with you? You're not worrying. Are you sick? Don't you realize you have so many things to worry about? The sky is going to fall if you don't worry. Okay, Mari, I'm sorry. You know what should I worry about now? I'm into the worrying club. And Maya will send many things. Oh, I feel relieved. So I was an illusion, Maya. Sorry. I was a brainless idiot. That's what they told me. All these, you say Hare Krishna. You ask Hare Krishna any question, what do you say? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They have no brainless idiots. But now you're normal. Oh, I have so many things to worry about. My God, I got to take them. But actually, life becomes simple when we think, well, I'm here, and what should I do for Krishna? What should I do to serve Krishna through his representatives? Then we don't have to worry about a million things. We just have to worry about one thing. How to serve Krishna here and now. What to do. Of course, there may be things we may have to write down. because Krishna may want us to do that. So that's, we do it to write things down because Krishna wants us to do it, not just because I have a billion things to, you know, that to worry about. No, we write them down because that's our duty to plan our lives in such a way as that we can always remember Krishna. So we're writing things down not to simply solve one problem after another. We're writing them down so that we can organize our life in such a way as that we'll always remember Krishna, always serve Krishna. So Krishna may want me to do so many things, so I may have to write them down. But I'm writing them down for service to Krishna, not to solve my anxieties one after another. And then to do things lovingly to serve Krishna, that's all Krishna really wants. If we can do something lovingly to serve Krishna that's authorized, then that activity is perfect. And we'll feel perfect. Then we'll actually get, we'll see why we shouldn't be in anxiety at all, because that's all we have to do, is be happy in Krishna consciousness. But it's not so easy. It takes a lot of studying, a lot of practice, and a lot of willingness to give up our unnecessary anxiety. It's not that we shouldn't have some anxiety, but just like in the spiritual world, they're also an anxiety. They're always an anxiety. Mother Jasoda is always an anxiety, eternally an anxiety, but over Krishna. She's worrying if Krishna, the cows have dragged Krishna away, the calves of Krishna, as, you know, if the birds are attacking Krishna, if Krishna's dirty, if he's still playing with his friends, did he eat enough? Mother Jasoda's always worried about Krishna. So that worrying is good if we're worrying about Krishna. If Krishna is there, that worrying is very nice and it's spiritual and we'll be in ecstasy worrying like that. And if Krishna is not there, then we're simply wasting our time. So we have to add Krishna. So that's called dasya. To find out what Krishna wants me to do and to do it just to please him. Then we'll naturally remember him. And if we can remember Krishna and we can actually feel Krishna's presence, we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then we'll actually understand what this whole world is about. The whole world, whatever is going on here, is simply for that. There's no other reason why everything is going on. That's the purpose of everything. Just like people nowadays, they're interested in astrology. So people will go to the astrologer, my dear astrologer, am I going to become rich and famous? Am I going to become healthy? Am I going to become... And they say, yes, yes, don't worry. Masuchaha, don't worry. You're going to become rich and famous. And, you know, it's only, you know, 300 euros for my consultation. And I'm looking at my horoscope. I'm going to become rich and famous too. People don't realize that actually becoming rich and famous, becoming poor and criticized, the same purpose is there, to become Krishna conscious. Actually, what's good in a horoscope, for instance, oh, the worst period of life is coming. Well, that's very good. That's very auspicious if you take shelter of Krishna, because there'll be no more greater impetus to take shelter of Krishna than the worst period of your life. Actually, second worst. The worst period is you're going to leave your body. And then people go, yeah, sure, I'm going to take shelter of Krishna. What about the second worst period? Oh, no, I'm just going to try and counteract that one. Do the best one. I can't get out of it, so I can try and become rich and famous during that period, too. And then people become rich and famous and think, oh, God, you're so kind. You're giving me all this money. And I'll, you know, as that man, he went to the deity, Durga Devi, and said, my dear Durga Devi, if you give me your benediction, then I'll give you half, I'm going to bet on a horse, and if the horse wins, I'll give you half the money. So Durga said, so be it. So he went, bet on the horse, and the horse came in second. And he gained half the money. So came back, and Durga said, Durga, can you give me another benediction? She said, well, where's the money? You said you were going to give me half. He said, no, the horse came in second. So I got half the money. You already took your other half. So that kind of worship is not recommended. or the man who went to Durga and said, Durga, my dear Lord, please give me this benediction. If you do, I'll give you so much money. So Durga said, so be it. So he came back next time and said, Durga, can you give me another benediction? She said, well, where's the money? He said, well, you know, I didn't really make so much money. I'm really poor. So she said, I'll give you a benediction, but at least give me a goat. So he said, no problem, goat. Yeah, that's not pretty inexpensive. I can get you a goat. So he came back the next week. Durga, can you give me another benediction? Durga said, sure, but where's the goat? He said, oh, goats, they went up in price, you know. Not so easy to get a goat that's, you know. She said, well, at least give me a fly. He said, sure, you know, give me the benediction, I'll give you a fly. She said, all right. And then she said, well, where's the fly? He said, oh, there's so many flies around here, just catch one of them. So this kind of mentality is not bhakti. That we should accept there's going to be good and evil. Whatever Krishna supplies to us, we should offer to him. But we should be responsible. If things are very auspicious, then still we go on with our determination, knowing that Krishna has arranged this in order so I can serve him better. So I can help spread his Krishna consciousness movement better. I can become a better devotee. And if things are difficult, then we should know that Krishna wants me to concentrate on him more. He wants me to become more humble. He wants me to become more determined. He wants me to surrender more. And therefore Krishna arranges things like that. Not only here, but in the spiritual world. It's not if you go to the spiritual world, generally speaking, everything goes smoothly. At least when Krishna is here in the material world, we can see Krishna is being, he jumps into the river Jamuna, Kali's serpent grabs him. He hangs on there for hours. Everyone's about to die out of anxiety. What's going to happen to Krishna? Not that they think, well, you know, Krishna's God, no problem. No, they're anxiety completely. This is calamity. Indra tries to kill them with the rain. You think we have problems with the weather around here? Imagine Vrindavan when Krishna was here. They had serious problems. They were going to drown. Indra was going to drown them all. But Krishna saved him. Because so many problems in Vrindavan, what to speak of the Pandavas, Prahlad Maharaj, but people, they turned to Krishna for help. So we should expect problems here also. We're in the material world, and that's the problems are given to us so we can become a better servant, that's all. Everything here is arranged to become a better servant. And if we do that, then we actually become a better servant. And not only do our services, except everything belongs to Krishna, is meant for Krishna's service, always thinking of how to serve him, and then finding out what's the best way of serving him, not only according to my own ideas, but according to see the example of others, the instruction, learn from others how to become a better servant, how to make progress. And the best thing is to serve him with devotion. See the love, the enthusiasm, the proper attitude of the other devotees, learn from them how to develop that love and enthusiasm. And then, whatever circumstances we are, everything will be perfect for us at least. Tatenu kampam susamikshamanam. So one can see things iksha, to see, one sees things equally with the mind. Tatenu kampam susamikshamanam. Only one can actually see everything very nicely with the mind and intelligence. Then bhunjama edvatma kritam vipakam. Then whatever is happening, good or bad, but it's all bad actually in the material world. If you're in a prison, it doesn't matter what day in the prison you're in. It may be, you know, Christmas or Janmashtami, but you're in a prison. But if you're in Krishna consciousness, then there is no prison. So right now we're in a prison, so we have to become Krishna conscious, and then we'll realize, then we won't be in our prison anymore. We'll be with Krishna. Or if we're in the prison, at least we'll be in the prison with Krishna. Just like Devaki and Vasudev. They were in a prison, but at least they were in a prison with Krishna. So it wasn't such a bad prison. Matter of fact, before the Muslims tore down the Janmasthan, people used to go to that prison and worship. because now we have a little duplicate Janmasthan there, and they go and worship. They worship a prison, but because they worship the prison because Krishna is there. So we put Krishna in our prison, then it will be a worshipful prison. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any comments or questions?
These nine processes
are listed as processes for every devotee, among the 64 processes to be performed by every devotee. But two of them, Rudasyam and Sakyam, seem to be very similar to rasas, to the five rasas, and they are also somewhat described in such a way. So what will be the difference between the Dasyam and Sakyam as the rasa and Dasyam and Sakyam as the process of devotional service to be practiced by everyone?
No, they're the same. They're exactly the same. Because just like the difference between a green mango and a ripe mango, they're both mangoes. One is sweeter, that's all, because it's ripe. So when you perform Dasyam or Sakyam, you do it in the pure consciousness, then it's rasa. Similarly, if you hear and chant and remember, then in any activity that you're doing, then you'll realize you're rasa also. They're all rasa. They'll all be experienced as rasa if they're done perfectly, in perfect Krishna consciousness. Yes. Just like I'll give you an example from the Nectar of Devotion. That said, in the Nectar of Devotion, there are two different types of gopis. One of them is the gopis who are want a perfect direct relationship with Krishna. I think what that's called some it's not sambandha, but samboga. And each samayi. So samboga means they have direct contact with Krishna. And ichamayi means that they take pleasure in remembering the pastimes of Krishna, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. So hearing. There's a certain rasa about hearing. Similarly, for any devotee in any rasa, just like the gopis during the day, what are they doing? They're also remembering, and they're hearing, and they're chanting and remembering Krishna's pastimes with all different rasas. So these things are there in all the rasas. Yes.
This verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, if one... I have two questions, actually. Two more questions. That one in this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that there's many, many thousands of births. When one comes to understand that he's an eternal servant of Krishna, one can deliver others from this universe. So this is something we see frequently, thousands of births, many births, millions of births, some births on one hand. On the other hand, even in the Gita, many times Krishna says, no, after this death, you can come. So what would be the... maybe we need some KPIs, key performance indicators, to see whether I'm moving towards the quick on the quick path to Krishna, or am I dragging my feet on the path of thousands of births towards full love?
Well, as I always say, just chant your rounds, and when you chant just one round, and write down whatever thoughts besides Krishna come to your mind. I'll give you some idea of what you have to work on. If when chanting our rounds, we're not just purely hearing the holy name, then there's some other idea that comes to our mind, so that's what we have to work on. And we work on those things, get them out of the way, and we just chant and we just hear about Krishna, then we're on the way. It'll be a much shorter time. Otherwise, these thoughts, these ideas, these feelings, they're like the anchor that keeps us in the material world. Then we have to pull up the anchor before we can go to the spiritual world.
Also here, Prabhupada says, if one simply continues to think that he's an eternal servant of Krishna, even without performing any other processes any other process of devotional service, he can attain full success. So is it just thinking, or this thinking will overflow into some action too?
Well, tasya means it must be activity, otherwise it's shanta. Shantaras. Yeah, but as far as just thinking oneself, I mean, just like sometimes people say, you know, this devotee is a Mahabhagavat. Well, fine, he may be a Mahabhagavat. How did they become a Mahabhagavat? What did they do? Who did they follow? What was the process they executed to become a Mahabhagavat? Were they born a Mahabhagavat, or what, etc.? What are the symptoms that they're a Mahabhagavat as opposed to everyone else? So when they say, when Prabhupada says statements like that, we can't take it out of context. That, you know, you just, I'm eternal servant to Krishna, I'm eternal servant to Krishna. No, there must have been a process by which you achieve that. There must be something you're doing, because everyone has to do something, according to Bhagavad Gita. No one's idle even for a moment. So what are you doing? Even if you just sit there meditating on Krishna, but that's shanta ras. So we have to assimilate, we have to see it in different perspectives. Anything else? Yes.
When we take shelter of Krishna, it looks like we are doing something, we want something for ourselves.
Of course we wanted something for ourselves.
Yeah, but in which category of these nine processes would it...
Wanting something for yourself?
No, taking shelter of Krishna.
Well, it depends what you're doing to take shelter of Krishna. Just to feel that you're taking shelter of Krishna is probably just hearing. Because you have to hear that you should take shelter of Krishna. So that's remembering, I should take shelter of Krishna. And someone asks you, what are you doing? I'm taking shelter of Krishna. So that's chanting. But what are you doing to take shelter of Krishna? You must be doing something. So, there's so many different possibilities of the different aspects of the nine processes. If we're actually trying to take shelter of Krishna, many people think they're taking shelter of Krishna, but they don't even know who Krishna is. They don't know how they're taking shelter of Krishna. So, these things require hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, so many different things, actually develop that real feeling that I'm taking shelter of Krishna. Because, you know, we can say I'm taking shelter of Krishna, and then, you know, some ice cream comes by and go, Krishna goes out the window. We take shelter of our tongue. So we have to see, well, when I'm eating the ice cream, I should remember Krishna. So that's taking shelter of Krishna. That's perfectly eating ice cream. So we have to perfect the art of eating ice cream in Krishna consciousness. All right, thank you very much. Krishna Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.